We are a church of His presence. We hunger and we thirst for the living God. And because there's a hunger, and how many have you been developing a hunger for God, right?
Yeah.
How many listen to that message? It's online, developing a hunger for God. Depends on what you want to fill up on, see, is what you're going to be full of. So we develop a hunger for Him by receiving His Word. When you receive His Word, you receive Him, because you cannot separate Jesus from His Word. He is the Word. So you whet your appetite through the Word, amen, and the Spirit working together, bearing witness with your spirit. And taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen? Come on, let's face it, God has the most awesome appetizers. I mean, we just get a little sample, little taste of His goodness. It's like, whoa, I can't wait for the main course. How many know what I'm talking about today? He's so good that you desire more. You want Him more. But you got to be careful that you're not filling up on filler food. Stuff that gives you a false sense of satisfaction but does not nourish you. Amen. How many know there are some things that are permissible to do in the world but are not good for you? Because they can choke you and rob you of that which is really important, of that which really satisfies, which is Christ. He alone. Some of you came this morning, you said you had a reminder just by the being in the atmosphere of heaven here in the presence of the Lord. You had a reminder once again. Oh yeah, I remember. I've been missing this. How many felt like that? I've been missing this. All right, one hand. I see that hand back there. I got both my hands up because I just like getting together with you, because there's something special that happens when we're together. We never underestimate those personal times with the Lord, you know, in intimacy with Him in prayer. But boy, when we come together and we share in the life of Jesus, there's just something special about that. You know why God is smiling on us this morning? Because we're in unity. And we came together not to get our ears tickled. We came together this morning just not what I can get out of it, but we came with an attitude of, I want to bless Him. We come with an offering to the Father today. How many know it's more than just asking God for stuff? It's about coming before Him with thanksgiving, giving thanks to the Lord. Thanksgiving is huge. It's the password into His presence. It literally is a password into His presence. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. When we forget the goodness of the Lord, when we forget what He's done for us, when we forget what He brought us out of, how many know that forgetfulness leads to unbelief?
Yes.
That's why God told Israel to remember Him in Passover. They quickly forgot His miracles. They quickly forgot all that He had done for them. So they were to do these ordinances as a memorial, to remember. And how many have discovered that there's times when you begin to sit down and think about all the good things God has done in your life, the encounters you've had along the way, and you'll stumble upon this one encounter in your mind, in your memory, and it's like you're reliving it in your spirit. It quickens you. It's like it's as fresh as if it was in the moment. It's a memorial. Something that God has deposited that's eternal in you. We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. We need to remember to give thanks. Hallelujah. All right. Am I in trouble yet? Just keep talking, right? You'll be in trouble soon enough, so. But man, we had an awesome week. It's been so fun. You know, serving God should be joyful. It is joyful. It's a joy. When you're in the will of God, there will be joy in your heart. It's very important that we understand our place, where we belong, where we fit, you know, what our call is, what our assignment is. When you're in that place, that's where Jesus is at. Where I am, there my servant will be also. Where is Jesus? Jesus is in his purpose. And we are to be yoked together with Jesus to walk out his purpose with him. So we walk with him day by day, step by step. And through little steps of obedience, little steps of being faithful and consistent, not necessarily in the big things, not necessarily in the glorious things, not necessarily in the things that are visual and are observed by men even, but being faithful, even in the quiet things, and that what she's called you to do there, nobody else may not even see, you know, except you and God. He will reward you openly. The way up. We're going to talk about the way up today. And it's the way of humility. And it's the way of faithfulness. But I want to talk about humility today. And humility is a modest opinion of one's own importance or rank. A modest opinion of one's own importance or rank. Really, humility is agreeing with what is true. It's agreeing with what is true about you. Understanding who we are is very important. Because if we don't know who we are, we will live below who we are, or we'll try to live above it. Humility is kind of like sandwiched between arrogance, you know, and a poor self-image. It's understanding who you really are. When you know who you are, you don't need somebody else to tell you that you're great, that you're swell. Because your validation is to come from the one who created you and put purpose in your life. And we get into trouble when we depend on just others to make us feel good. To feel important. All of us are called in the Lord to be servant priests. We are priesthood. We're all called to be ministers. How many knew that? How many knew that you are a minister? Turn to your neighbor and say, you are a minister. Now, that doesn't mean that you're all pastors or apostles or evangelists, right? It doesn't mean that everybody's going to be a teacher. But we're all a minister. Every one of us is given an assignment. And that's what that means, doesn't it? Minister is really a servant. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. He took upon himself. The King of Glory took upon himself the form of a servant. Now, Proverbs 18:12 says, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. How many know that sin itself is haughtiness? Whenever we sin, we're exalting ourselves against what God said. Say, I'm not going to listen to that. I've got a higher or a better idea. Isn't that what Satan worked on Eve with? God is just trying to hold out on you. God didn't really mean what he said. God knows that you'll be just like him if you listen to me. So it was pride. He created pride in their imagination. It began in the imagination. They began to think about these things and say, wow, God's trying to hide something. Why isn't he allowing me to eat from this tree? He's trying to hide something from me. Ah, so if I eat of this, I'm going to be just like him. I'm going to answer to nobody. How many have discovered by now you're going to have to answer to somebody in this world? Because the jails are full of people that didn't want to answer to anybody. There's a reason why we have laws. Not that I agree with all the laws. But if the law does not contradict the law of God, then you have to obey it. And as you obey the laws of the land, you're also obeying the one who has placed authority above us in this world. So we know this is not a mystery, but pride comes before a fall. We know that. But we need to be very careful to guard against this strategy of the enemy. The reason why the enemy wants to get us puffed up is because he wants to destroy us. He wants to take us down. And so he's constantly working on us. And the reason why I'm going to bring this up today is because God is raising up people. even in our midst. He's raising you up. But you have to be very careful that you don't begin to believe the lie of the enemy and you begin to think more highly of yourself than you should. We need to remain humble. Now, you can either humble yourself or you can be humbled. But if you are a child of God, you will be humbled. But it's easier to humble yourself. So we're talking about the way up. How many want to go higher in God? Amen?
Amen.
We should. We should desire to grow. We should desire maturity. We should desire to function in the fullness of what God has called us to be. Everyone has been given destiny in the Lord. Would you agree?
Yeah.
So you need to have a desire to grow up and to be come to a place where you can reproduce. Amen? Where you can father spiritual children in a sense and mother them, if you will. To where we mature to the point where now I can begin to sow seed into other hearts. And as you are taking little steps of obedience, little steps of faithfulness, to take the little bit that you do have and share it. You got a little seed today? If you got a little seed today, find somebody to share it with. You'll never lose what you give away in the Lord. You'll never lose what you give away in the Lord. Did you receive some seed today? Take the seed and find some. Pray, Lord, what can I do with the seed? Write it down. It's good to write down. We have a place where you can take notes. If God speaks to you, He drops something in it. It's fresh. It's like, wow, it's life-giving. Write it down. God's speaking to you. God's already speaking to some of us. So some folks, they think more highly of themselves than they ought to, while others don't think high enough about themselves. It is a problem. Because if you don't have a sober assessment of who you are, of, you know, that you are a child of God, you have people, it is a problem where you have people who live below what God has called them to be. Because they've listened to the lie that you're just nobody, that you're just a nobody and you're always going to be a nobody. And if you listen to that voice and long enough, you'll begin to live like a nobody. Has anybody listened to that voice recently? We don't need to listen to it very long, right? As soon as we identify and say, not going there, out of here. Sometimes all you got to say is, no, not going there. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I'm born again. If I stumble, I get back up, dust myself off. I was out of character. I'm going to walk in my identity. Ask God to forgive you. He will. Don't beat yourself up over the head. Amen. If God forgives you, let yourself off the hook too. Paul said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." When we all humble ourselves and we walk together in humility, we walk together in unity. It's when we begin to try to exalt ourselves above our neighbor. I'm a little better than they are. I'm a little better than you. I'm a little more spiritual than you. Well, if there's been anything accomplished in our lives, in my life, it's by grace. "For I say to you, by the grace which was given to me," he said very carefully. He was because God had graced him to be an apostle. God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Why is that? So that we would work as a body. You see, God gave to Jesus the Spirit without measure. But Jesus then delegates, amen, His Spirit or His grace and His authority upon His body on the earth. So none of us have all of Him. Are you with me? In the sense that we have everything that Jesus is. Jesus shares His life with us, and He gives each one of us a measure of faith. Because I read a quote recently, and it's a man I highly respect, but I just didn't agree with it. That God has given to us the Spirit without measure. But that's not what the Bible says. It's very clear that God gives unto us a measure. A measure. And if we would understand that and understand that not everybody has it all, but we all need what each other has, we can work together as a team for the same purpose. That's the kingdom. Amen? The purpose of the Lord on the earth. So if we understand that, then it's not like the hand saying, I'm better than you, foot. That would be ridiculous. Every part of your body is necessary. I mean, if you sprain your toe, if you stub your toe, your whole body hurts. It affects the whole body. So every part is important. Even though you may not see the toe, it's an important member. It helps you to walk straight. Now, Jesus was talking about humility when a dispute broke out among some of His followers. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 24, now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And He said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. Luke chapter 22 and verse 25, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. That word benefactors means friends of the people. Kind of like our politicians, friends of the people. The American people want. No, you want that. You're not speaking for me half the time. But we are to honor those in authority over us. We are to submit to them in the Lord. We are not to slander. It doesn't matter if you agree with them or not, because God has placed those in authority over us. We have to be very careful. Sometimes I hear stuff that's, well, it chaps my hide. And I'm not a cowboy, so. But we can't allow, folks, the weaknesses of others to affect our internal condition. But Jesus said, these kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called friends of the people. But not so among you. This is something we need to listen to. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as a younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as one who serves. Let this mind be in you. That was in Christ. Now, how does God view pride? Well, we know He doesn't look favorably on it, does He? Well, let's take a look at Acts chapter 12, verse 21. This is how severely sometimes God will deal with pride. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, the voice of a God and not of a man. Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him, because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God grew and multiplied. What happened was Herod began to believe in his heart what the people were saying about him. He had a higher opinion of himself than what was actually true, and he didn't give God the glory. And so an angel of the Lord struck him. How many know that this is something that we all need to be aware of and on guard against? It's very prevalent in the church today, pride. And why is it? Because this is the tactic, the main tactic that the enemy uses to deceive and destroy God's people, is to get us proud. And to start to exalting ourselves above our other brothers and sisters, which causes disunity. Now, if God exalts you and gives you a position of authority, that's wonderful. That's proper. But if you exalt yourself because you covet somebody's position, that's not good. Now you have to live in defensive mode to protect your territory because you put yourself there and God didn't put you there. But if you humble yourself, God will exalt you, but it may not look like your neighbor. It may be different. Sometimes we get this idea in the church that to be exalted means I've got to be in the pulpit. Some people are called to that, but what it means is if you're in the pulpit, you have a greater responsibility to guard against pride and ego and all that stuff. And you're here not to be served, but to serve the people. There comes a greater accountability with greater authority. There's more responsibility with authority. That's why when I was in the world, when I was a young man, I was content just to sweep the floor or whatever because I saw what the supervisor went through. And I didn't want any of that. Little did I know that God was going to one day put me in positions of being supervisors and in charge of people. And because God didn't want to leave me there. He had called me for this. But God had to condition me first, and I had to come up through the ranks. I had to learn how to serve before I would be entrusted with something that is of great responsibility in the kingdom, lest I become proud. Sometimes we pump new ministers, young kids that are just right out of Bible college, and pump them right into the ministry and give them a position. And you know, folks, that's not always a good idea. In the Korean church, you shine shoes, you push the broom, you clean toilets. They learn how to serve first. And they don't have the problems of so many of them fallen like we see sometimes in our society where it's like too much too soon and they get a big head and then they fall. You see, the devil's trying to get us to believe a lie about ourselves. He's trying to get you to step out of your appointed place. You see, God has a specific place for each one of us in the body. I'm going to say it again. God has a specific place for each one of us in the body. The devil wants to get you out of your place. He wants to bait you with something that entices you into stepping out of where you really should be into something that you're not called to be in. Why? Because he wants to cause dysfunction in the body of Christ. Or he wants you to stay where you are and never reach into your calling, never step up into your calling. So that he can abort the promises of God in your life through unbelief, through playing it safe. The key to you and I finding our place in the kingdom is through humility. It's by humbling ourselves before God. The Lord taught us to wait on God for our ministry. The enemy will entice you with a good thing, but it's not the right thing, or it's something that you're not ready for yet. To get you to get out of the place where you're supposed to be and to prematurely step into something that you're not called or prepared for yet. And what happens then is you put yourself in a place where you are vulnerable because you stepped outside of the will of God. There are people who think for me to be great in the kingdom, it means I have to be a pastor or some kind of public figure for God or the miracle worker. And by so they are enticed out of the place where they really belong. That is necessary. It's very, very necessary that they will function in the realm of their anointing, in the place God has put them. And if they step outside of that place, now they've stepped outside the will of God. And guess what? Sometimes bad things happen when you step outside the will of God. The safest place to be is in the will of God. The place of fruitfulness is in the will of God. The place where you're going to flourish and be effective is in the will of God for you, in the assignment that God has given you. And you're not going to know the assignment God has given you unless you humble yourself and take upon yourself the form of a servant, be willing to serve others. And as we serve, as we minister, and we're faithful and we take steps of faithfulness, then as we are equipped and as we are prepared and as we are conditioned in our character, God will move us into different realms of the anointing and different levels of authority. It may not be in the pulpit, but it may be in the marketplace, in your own walk, in your own life. Your effectiveness will increase because you have humbled yourself to be a servant of the Most High God. The way up is through humility. And so in Luke chapter 14 and verse 8, Jesus said this: "When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, 'Give place to this man,' and then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, go up higher.' Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Folks, that has not changed. Now, the world doesn't think this way, and sometimes we've allowed the thinking of the system that's in rebellion to God to influence our thinking in the church. To think the way up is to claw and grab and bite and gossip and whatever you got to do to manipulate your way to get to the top. Folks, it happens especially in denominationalism. You know, where people are grabbing for power and they want to get to the top of the pile, thinking that somehow I'm going to be happier up there. I'm going to be more important up there. Now, if God exalts someone to a high position in a denomination, wonderful. But if you manipulate your way to that position, not so good. And the same thing is true with everything in life where you work. There are some people, I've even worked among Christians, who are trying to grab for power, you know. And so what they would do is they'd go around and they'd talk bad about this employee and that employee. They start belittling people, tearing them down. And they were the ones that always brought the apple to the boss, you know. It was all manipulation. Whatever we do, we are to do as unto the Lord and not unto men. We do with our heart. We're serving Him who sees in secret, who knows what's really going on and why you want what you want. Sometimes what we think we want is not really what you want. If you knew what God knows, you would say, "No, I don't want that." There are people who end up in pulpits, you know, because they thought that's what they wanted. And they have no idea what awaits you in the pulpit. Preaching is the cream, am I right, brother? Frank, others? What about all the drama? What about everything else? What about the constant onslaught of the enemy? You're always a target. What about when people lie about you? Say all kinds of things against you falsely. What about when you try to help people work out their problems and then you become the target? Well, if God puts you in that position, He will also give you the grace to do it. Amen. And He'll have prepared you for that. Amen? Because I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I would have left ministry a long time ago. But there's just something that He won't let me go, and I can't run away from my call, because I know God knows how to raise up a great big fish. And He'll swallow me up and spit me out in my assignment, back in my assignment again. And like I had mentioned earlier, it's very important that we are reminded and remind ourselves of where we came from. When I think about the grace of God in my life and what He's done for me and the hole that I was in when I got saved, it helps keep me humble and sober. Think, wow. Folks, if people that knew me before would have never imagined that I would be doing this today. But that's how God does it. He said, I'm going to take the least likely and put him in the spotlight. And then I'm going to show myself through that person. And you know, I'm still the least likely. But it's the grace of God that's on me. That's what Paul meant when he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Same thing for you, right? So don't forget. Now remember, Moses had to remind the people to remember the loving care of God when they were brought out of bondage of Egypt, and as a motivation for their obedience to God. It's because of His goodness. Remember how God had allowed trials to come into their lives so that they would be humbled and He would be proven. How God fed them with manna and gave them water from the rock. He provided clothing that didn't wear out, shoes on their feet, and their feet would not swell during the 40 years. Can you imagine having the same pair of shoes for 40 years? Them some good shoes. But God provides the best. And so in Deuteronomy 8, we read in verse 11, beware, he said, that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, here it is, filler food, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, it's talking about prosperity. When your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and a thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you. And that he might test you to do you good in the end. Has anybody here been going through a process of being humbled? The things that are happening in your life, if you're a child of God, are not without God's notice. He knows all about you. Even the very hairs of your head are numbered. He knows everything you experience. The tests, the trials, the stresses, the difficulties, the oppositions that you're facing, it's all part of the program to develop us and to bring us into a place where we'll be strong in Him. Where our faith, our confidence will be in God and not in us. That way the life of God will be manifested through you. And people are not going to be getting you, they're going to be getting Jesus, which is what they need. Lest you say in your heart, my power and my hand have gained me this wealth. So what he's saying is, remember now what God did for you. Don't forget it, because forgetfulness leads to pride. It's when we forget, folks, that's when we start getting pride and disobedience. So, finding your place. Just because we don't like where we've been placed does not give us the right to move ourselves or promote ourselves. Oh, there's been times that I've wanted to move myself and promote myself. Maybe you have too. I'm going to be honest with you. I had all kinds of visions of grandeur as a new believer. And God has to wean us off a lot of that stuff. And a lot of it is fluff. Sometimes the promises of God are yet to be fulfilled. But sometimes it's just selfish ambition. Has anybody ever had that problem before? Just me? Pray for me. But we don't have the right to move ourselves or promote ourselves. This is where pride gets in the way, you see. We become proud and we think, well, to be great or to be better than the next Joe, I've got to get a little higher on the pile. Sometimes, again, we desire somebody else's position in life. We watch maybe a man of God and say, oh, I wish I had what they had. Well, are you willing to pay the price that they had to pay? There's a lot of things that go on in people's lives that we may not be aware of, or if you found out, you may not want to go there after all. The important thing is that we stay in our assignment. We stay in our position. And we need to discover who we are in the Lord. You know, sometimes people talk about how spiritual they are. And I want you to hear this because I believe that we need to testify. I believe that we need to boast on God and we need to tell people what God is doing in our lives. Amen. In a sense that hopefully we're going to whet their appetite. That we're going to encourage them to draw near to God. Are you with me? So it's all about the motivation. Why? Why do I talk about how spiritual I am? Well, we shouldn't. As a matter of fact, it's not what I say about myself, but it's what others will say about you because they recognize the anointing on you. You see, there's a lot of people that are trying to convince people they're somebody, but when you're trying to convince somebody you're something when you're not, it's because you're not. See, people that are great are humble people. Are truly humble. Not people that go around boasting about themselves. That's not humility. That's pride. And if we have to go around and boast about ourselves so that people will like us or think that we're something, it's because we're really not and we know that inside. And so we're trying to make ourselves something by trying to present a false image often of ourselves to others. See, sometimes people think that, you know, if I just talk about all my experiences or even maybe embellish a little bit, maybe exaggerate a little bit, maybe even make some up. Uh-oh. That people will place me on a pedestal and I'll be important and I'll be happy there. No, what's going to happen is you're going to crash. And for a season, people may believe the lie. They may believe that about you. And they may put you on a pedestal, but you're being set up by the enemy. Because he who exalts himself will be abased. But those who humble themselves will be exalted. Most of us know the story of David, the life of David. David had sinned, but he was a man after God's own heart. God saw his heart, that he always wanted to please the Father. He always wanted to do God's will. And not just part of it. David was a man after God's own heart, meaning that he wanted to do all of God's will for his life. And even though he had weaknesses and he had failed and he had sinned, David did have to pay the consequences for his failures. But still, God loved David. And David had a heart for the Lord. And so David, he didn't have to struggle, folks, to get promoted or to hold on to power. What did David do? He simply trusted God and he remained faithful. If you remember, David was out tending sheep. After all, the more than qualified brothers went through, you know, Reuben's sons, and they're being examined. And he said, nope, not that one. They were good looking. They were Oh, in the eyes of the world, they probably said, man, that's got to be the one right there. But after the lineup, here comes, well, is there anybody else? Is that all you got? Well, there's only one. The little brother is out there tending sheep. Bring him. He was the one. God raised David up as a shepherd boy and made him a king. What was he? He was learning how to serve. He was learning how to minister as a shepherd. He was being faithful in his little assignment that he was given. And God saw the heart of David, that David's heart was in the right position, and he knew that this is someone that I can entrust with the kingdom. God chose David. If you and I want to go up, folks, we're going to have to follow the same example of that of Jesus, amen, of our Lord. We are not here to be served, but we are here to serve. And if all of us will take on the form of a servant, it doesn't matter what our lot is in life, it doesn't matter what your yearly income is, how many degrees you have, the way up in the kingdom is down. It's in servanthood. Amen? And then the Lord himself in the appointed time, because he sees that you are faithful, he will then take you and he will exalt you in due season. His season is always the right season. When God exalts you, you don't have to defend your position. David didn't have to defend it. As a matter of fact, David said, if God accepts me, I'll be able to be received back in Jerusalem. David was running for his life because his son Absalom had won the people's favor and there was an insurrection taking place. And David was running for his life. But David sent the ark back to Jerusalem. David left, I believe, 10 of his concubines behind. Because somewhere down, deep down in David's heart, he had to have a knowledge that I'm going to be back. But he waited on God. And David also knew that some of the problems he was having, the dysfunction in the family, was due to his sin with Bathsheba. And yet, God still saw David's heart, that he was a man after his own heart. And even though David had to run, and David had to go through some difficulties, the time would come when David would return to his place. And we all know the story of Absalom. Absalom was one who was trying to exalt himself. You see, Absalom was next in line to the throne. But Absalom got impatient. You see, God wants to promote some of us today. But we cannot be impatient and try to jump ahead of his time by manipulating our way because we think that's what we want. God will always qualify you, amen, for your call. Like someone said the other day, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the call. And that's what he's doing. He's qualifying you for something. God wants every one of us to bear much fruit in the earth. He wants to anoint you and give you greater authority. But there's a process that we've got to yield to. And we've got to wait on God's time. In God's time, if we will just be faithful, right where you're at. Faithful and take it step by step. The day will come when God says, now's your time. Now's your time. Now's your time. See, David knew no one could remove him from where he was except God himself. And even though there was undermining by his son, Absalom, eventually Absalom was killed. And David remained in power. Humility is key to moving higher in the kingdom. Now, I'm going to just finish with this, all right? How to be humble. You might want to write it down, how to be humble. And let me just say this, that being humble does not mean that you feel like you're worthless and you're no good and you're just a doormat for people to step on. That's not true humility. Amen? Amen. Humbleness, humility, is strength under control. It's abiding in the truth. It's not thinking more highly of yourself than you should, and you're not thinking less of yourself than you should, but you're thinking soberly according to the truth. But it's strength under power. Moses was a strong man. And the Bible says that there was no one more humble than Moses. How many know that Moses was no pushover? But Moses had control of himself. Humble people, even though they may be able to squash you like a bug, either intellectually or physically, will be able to contain themselves and to control themselves and to bear up under the opposition and entrust that to God. It's strength under control. I've used this example, but it's a great example. A horse is a very powerful animal, but it has to be broken in order to be user-friendly. So we also are being broken to become user-friendly. So don't exalt yourself, humble yourself, and serve. Find some place to serve. Say, God, I don't care what it is. I just want to be found faithful. And when God sees your faithfulness, the day comes, He says, okay, you no longer have to clean toilets. Or you may have to, who knows? But when you get to heaven, your reward will be great because you were faithful to remain in the place that God put you, and you didn't try to live above who you were. Remind yourself, number one, of where you have come from and the goodness of the Lord to you. How do you do that? By regular giving of thanks. Thanksgiving is huge. Thanksgiving, in Thanksgiving, we're reminding ourselves of the goodness, of the grace, of the mercy of God in our lives. All right? When we're thankful, it keeps us in perspective. When we become unthankful and we become forgetful, then it leads to pride and eventually to sin. And pride is a sin. Number two, ask the Holy Spirit to help you stay humble. Now some are saying, oh, I don't know if I want to do that. Do yourself a favor. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you stay humble. And you may have to pray often for this. All right. So the way up is through humility. And let this mind be in you that was in our Lord. Hallelujah. I've discovered, folks, and I am discovering, that if I keep myself in the right perspective, that God continues to use me. Amen? And He uses me in greater ways. And the same thing is true for all of us. If you want to be used of God in a greater way, wait on God. Don't make it about you. Make it about Jesus. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm just here to serve. I'm just doing what I was called to do. I'm an unprofitable servant. It was my duty. I'm just doing what I was called to do. Step by step. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. And the Lord will promote you. Hallelujah.